Hello everyone and welcome to The Entrepreneur's Journey. I am Andy Bryan and today I'm delighted to be speaking about how to find your passion and love. And I've got an amazing speaker today, Karolina Tatarenkova, is that right?
Yes, almost right. Next time we will get it perfect.
Excellent. Yeah, so we're going to be talking about how you can find your passion in love. And it's subject, I would say, is close to my heart. I believe we all want to have passion and love in our life. And I know you talk a lot about sex as well. We need all three of those, don't we, to bring the puzzle piece together. So today we're going to find out a bit more about your story, from where you started, your humble beginnings, even before you got into doing what you're doing today. And then we're going to be leading, obviously, into, you know, what you actually do today and how you help people and make a difference. So let's jump into your story. And first of all, I wanted to ask you, tell me a bit more about yourself, who you are before we start.
Well, at this moment, what I do is I help people improve their quality of life by, as you mentioned, firing their passion in the bedroom so they can really master the most sacred and the most, in some extent, important part of their lives that really fires their energy, fires their passion to go and conquer business world, career world, health world, whatever it is. So it's a truly foundation for it. And it's also, as yours, it's the topic dear to my heart. And I've experienced how it feels to have it as your battery, you know, as your accumulator that pushes you to reach much more. And through, you know, speaking, coaching, face-to-face workshops, which a lot of them are coming up for me in January, I'm just trying to reach international audience. I've been really lucky to travel a lot. I live, you know, in the Italian culture, in the Chinese culture. By myself, I have a Slavic background, UK. So really have a luxury of coming across different cultures, different perspectives on sexuality, on passion, which I'm more than welcome and more than honored to share with the people here and outside.
And I'd imagine, obviously, all those cultures are slightly different, as you said, perspective on love and passion. You know, Italians are very passionate and very loving, I find, you know, which is, I think, is beautiful. So let's jump into your story. So let me ask you, was there a time in your life where you didn't have this in your life? It was missing from your life. Maybe in your early years where you were in a bit of pain and discomfort and you weren't happy with where you were.
Mm-hmm. Well, sex, I think, you know, it's so relative. For one person who would say that, you know, one person didn't have sex or haven't had sex for a year or two, and they would say it's been painful. For others, it's been a few days and it's painful. So I would say that it's going to be unfair from my perspective to really put a norm to it, and kind of, you know, there's so much research done on that and people base their sex life on that. So I would not say that having or not having sex was painful or not painful, but I tell you this, that, you know, sex is such an amazing part of our lives that it's everything and it's nothing. It's everything when you don't have it and it's nothing when you have it, and quite often you take it for granted. But going back from how I started, and I think I shared with you in the previous meetings we had an opportunity to share together, is that I always wanted to do that. I've been a really sexual child myself, and I would rather not have our listeners twisted around. It's nothing perverted in that sense, because sexuality is not just what's happening in the bedroom, you know, just having intercourse. It's truly an energy that guides you, and it's truly part of your intuition and your life. So, you know, being really active in my childhood, being in a theater and playing in the theater, and the hope to allow people to take a break from thinking the old thoughts, the negative thoughts that, you know, quite often we all trap ourselves into thinking. And we think about 60,000 thoughts a day, research has shown. And the same thoughts, most of us have the same thoughts every day, every day, every day. And what happened to me, I asked a question that I invite all of the listeners today to ask me often, and not a lot of people do, is, are those thoughts right? And the moment when I asked this question was the moment when the story I had in my mind is that I was abandoned, is that I was rejected, is that I was not enough. Do you know what are the most two fears we all the human beings have, no matter what your race is, what your sexuality is? No, is the fear of not being good enough,
yeah,
and not being loved. So I guess I faced these fears too soon in my life, and many of the, unfortunately, children do nowadays.
Yeah.
And I asked myself, is it really true? And guess what? I don't think, I said, no, it's not, because love is something that you transcend, and it's all around you, and you can find it in little pieces. So what I do, even with my clients, is that help them to realize that based on their world model they live right now, is that they need so little to feel bad, and they need so much to feel good.
Yeah.
So what we do is twisting around. And don't get me wrong, the same applies to sexuality and to sex and passion, you know. So I guess to answer your question again is, I don't believe too much in the coincidences, you know, to the moment is that I was in pain and kind of it was an awakening for me. As I said, it was truly something I've been passionate about all my life. And just looking at observing adults and how this power of sexuality, passion was tingling.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you even look at the word coincidence, it's a mathematical term. And in geometry, they would say that two angles that coincide together are two angles that are meant to fit perfectly. So what we did, now we took a term that means that two things are meant to fit perfectly and interpreted it to something that fits together accidentally. You know, so we took a term and completely transformed it and twisted it around. So I guess if you're asking if there was any coincidence that it was the awakening for me, well, I guess yes, because it's meant to be to happen.
So looking back on that childhood memory, you shared much of that with me before. Like you said to me that you felt like abandoned by your parents, you felt a bit lost. You know, what was going through your mind at that point, and what was the key moment that led you to seeking something different and seeking that love, passion, and you know, what was missing there, you know?
Absolutely. Well, I was born, you know, in a family of entrepreneurs. My mom and dad, they're really true entrepreneurs. They'll, you know, they sacrifice everything for their business, for their legacy, and it's beautiful to see, because there are not a lot of entrepreneurs like that. And I mean, we can argue if it's good or bad, but who cares? That's what their passion is, that's what they do.
Yeah.
But what happened is I was born when they were still in the USSR, and then it broke down, and now it's Russia in other parts, but I have a Russian background. So that was perfect, yet one of the hardest times to start business. And we've talked with you before that, you know, when it's winter in business, it might be just the best time to start business, yet it's quite challenging for some people because it's scary. They don't see opportunities.
Yeah.
And looking at how my parents were evolving and what they had to sacrifice, and sacrifice was to let me go and live with my grandmother and see me only one or two times a year. That's what they had to sacrifice to provide for myself, you know, give me the future I'm having today and the education I'm having today. And not a lot of people would do that. And I guess my story at that point was, you know, how could they let me be while they're going and exploring the world in China or wherever their business partners were, where other parents and families had their children and yet still managed to develop the same type of business they did. But then, you know, speaking from my professional background of psychology and counseling is that, you know, abuse and neglect of the child does not just, you know, reflect it in physical, it could be emotional. And quite often children who are born in families where they don't get enough sufficient attention from parents, they are neglected, and it's one of their most traumatic experiences. Yeah. So for me, I guess the turning point was when I asked that question for myself, you know, what were those thoughts true? And I think I was about 5 or 4 years old, so it's not that that long into my even, you know, teenage years. Yeah. And then forgiveness came in. Forgiveness not to my parents in the first place, but forgiveness for myself, is that I was holding on to those thoughts. Yeah. And I guess that's what I invite our listeners to do. So whatever they thought they had been holding on to the story, and this is something very beautiful that you do, is dwelling into the people's stories, and you see the pain they're still holding on to. Yeah. And I would invite them to ask if, you know, if that serves them, and if they would let it go and forgive themselves for holding it, so that their life might be different.
Yeah.
So forgiveness was the best gift I gave myself. And since then, I think I was unstoppable. I'll tell you a story that when I was going to school, I think I was about 6 years old. And in Russia, you must be 7 years old to go to school. But my aunt, I was growing up with my aunt who's 10 years older than I, she was going to school herself, and I was so into her. She was my best friend. I would be going to school and crushing the classes by pretty much saying, can I sit, you know, in your class and be a student? Yeah. So my grandmother was, you know what, we have to do something about it. You can't just do it. And I mean, they were punishing me sometimes, you know, don't do that, but eventually they gave up. My grandmother went to see a director of a school and said, you know what, our child is just so ambitious. And I mean, she's a child. Let her sit in one of the first, you know, grades with the kids. And after a few days, she'll give up. So director had a really great relationship with my grandmother. And she said, sure. But little did they know, they spent so much time persuading me, I can do it. I can have it. I'm too young. I'm not good enough at this moment. Whatever the fears, you know, reinforcing the story, the old story I had. But I told them, I think inside, I proved you wrong. And 2 weeks later, I was still in that school. I was still waking up, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning to get into school. Yeah. And I was the first child at that point to go into school at 6 years old. And I think I made some history here. And that's what resonates with me right now with what I do for people in terms of sexuality. Mm. That sex has been trashed down to by so many people, and passion and relationship has been trashed down by so many people, because other counselors and other coaches reinforce that passion after some times in relationship will fade. You know, it's like when you come to a counselor to me and I tell you that your best future is behind you, you know.
It's sad, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Why would you try? So I'm on a mission. I'm doing more than coaching. I'm on a mission to whatever I can do to change the landscape of the way we talk about passion and the way we create it, because it's not something you do. You know, it's not something you have. It's something you create on a daily basis.
Yeah, definitely. So from that young age, who was your inspiration? Who was your role model that inspired you to actually believe in yourself? Because I know we go through those places in time. When I was younger, I felt like my worth wasn't good enough. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't achieving what I should be achieving. You know, and I sat there thinking, oh, well, that my future's going to be rosy, isn't it? You know? So who was your inspiration that said, look, Carolina, you are amazing. You can do what you want to do in life. And you can achieve exactly what it is you want to achieve.
I think, you know, I was growing up in a village, you know, when my parents kind of sent me to live with my grandparents. So I had a few role models, not in terms of, like, my parents were a really good model for entrepreneurs, you know, like this drive that you have to sacrifice. You know what? I forget what it is. On YouTube, our listeners can find it. It's motivational just of, like, mixed up. But one of those guys said, you know, some of us like sleep much more than work and yeah. the idea of being well off and rich, which is, you know, arguable, but this is something I really learned from my parents is the hard work. You know, my dad recently said that most people believe that you just have to be really wanting to have a lot of success and a lot of wealth, but don't work hard. And, you know, that's what the people do. They don't take this extra step that you and I, now listeners, are about or have taken.
Yeah.
But otherwise, in the feminine world, is my aunt. She passed on very young, was a really role model at that time. She lived her life the way she wanted to live and never cared about what people thought. And, you know, she told me something that, Carolina, people think and they talk and they will think and they will talk regardless of what you do. So be true to yourself. Say no. The power of no is amazing. And just be authentic to yourself. And nowadays, I'm really honored to have coaches. I have business coach that is, he's amazing. His name is Rafa Labudo. He's brilliant and I couldn't, you know, I have to dedicate some honor to him for sure.
Yeah.
And I guess you would agree, otherwise you would not probably started this amazing project that you did, is the power of proximity, to be around the people who are the same, you know, the same spirit, the same energy. And I found a lot of people like that going to Tony Robbins event, to, you know, Bishop, and listening to Jim Rohn's, you know, other speakers. This is the most powerful experience I had into developing into really strong persona.
So as we look into your story a bit more and we go through your road of trials, some of your challenges and obstacles, and we find your passion with love.
Yes.
let me ask you, how was your journey into finding that passion? I imagine it wasn't all, you know, flowers and rose petals. What were some of the challenges that you faced as you were looking for that fulfillment that you said you were missing before, and, you know, that was lacking in your life, you know?
I think the most challenges, it was not really, you know, traumatic events, but even though if I wanted to, I could look back in my life and interpret some of the events as traumatic and be depressed. In fact, some of the people, what I see in my professional is that one of the reasons that people do feel depressed is that they assign a certain meaning to certain events in their life. But to go back to kind of to what you've asked is, I guess one of the challenges was to really aspire and listen to the callings, to the signs, to my intuition, to realize that I really was meant to do what I've been doing. And at any time, you know, I would start a project, I would go to school, to university, because initially I have a business background. You know, I have my first degree in a business and second degree certification in business. Anytime I would do something like that, something around relationship issues in my own world, let's say, you know, it's nothing huge, but would come up, or someone would come to me and ask advice on sexuality, or I would go into the bookstore and all of a sudden, like literally something like that, a book about sex or passion would be just in front of my face, and I'm like, let me pick it up for no good reason. You know, there are some things you can't explain nowadays. That's why, you know, I love neuroscience, because I think we haven't studied our brain well enough, and it's so powerful.
Definitely.
But at one point, and that point I think was after finishing my business degree, I wanted to go into law school. And I took my LSAT. I was, I was so passionate about it. And for whatever reason, I couldn't get the score I wanted to get. I was studying hard, and I think I'm like, that's a sign. You know, if something is happening in your life over and over again, let's say, and I mean, I might take risks by saying this, but if you're getting into bad abusive relationships, or if you're getting into bad business deals, there is a reason why the universe keep giving you this lesson, because you haven't learned.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. No, I can completely relate to that in business. And sadly, I'm lucky enough not to have gone through abusive relationships, but I know that sometimes we attract certain things into our life, or we don't attract them really. I wouldn't say we attract them, because they happen to us in our life because they're lessons we need to learn. Like you say, there's no coincidences. They're lessons that we need to learn. Like, for example, my self-worth was always something I needed to learn from a young age. I needed to believe in myself, what I was capable of, what I could truly achieve and pass on to others, you know. But yeah, it's very interesting that we've got to learn those lessons. So in regards to some of more of your lessons, like in finding that love, finding that passion, and really bringing that sex into that relationship as well, what were the things that really brought it together for you as you think about, you know, synergizing it all, you know?
Absolutely. You know what? It's a brilliant question, because I'm in process of writing my book that, passion is a lifestyle, and that sex, passionate sex is just a lifestyle. And I've been just brainstorming and thinking, you know what? I think chased passion and love. Or when I did in the beginning, you know, in the teenage years, when most of us tend to confuse sex for love, sex for passion, which is, you know, when you fall in love based on chemistry, this is the worst scenario you can imagine, because when the fireworks fade, you know, the reality kicks in and you just live in a fantasy. However, when I stopped chasing it, I was so fortunate. I was really kind of flooded with avalanches of abundance, and I just found it. And I guess one of the key ingredients for my sexuality was taking responsibility for pleasure. And that's what I promote to women and in most men, but mostly for women, is that not your husband, not your wife, is responsible for giving you pleasure. It's only you who need to take ownership and responsibility for that. And that was another key for me. Yeah. Another was to step away from the normalization and generic definition of what sex was. And I guess that's why I kind of didn't answer your question properly in the way maybe you wanted me to in the beginning, is that I don't want to put a number. I don't want to put really kind of share an experience that will make or direct our audience to think that what's not having sex, you know, what for how long and all of those things, and what's the impact of that. And designing passion on daily basis was the key to kind of my success in the relationship with my fiance at this moment. And it's because it's never happened. You know, if we just sat, as a lot of people do, come back from work, gobble to each other, went to bed, because I'm sure you know that we all exhausted and you love what you're doing. Sometimes you should stop, but you don't stop. And, you know, I don't think we would have passion. It's a conscious thinking of creating a passion, because it doesn't fall from the sky. And the more people realize that, the faster they're going to awake their senses, that it's not your soulmate with who you're going to have an amazing sex. It's something you create, and a passion in itself. You know, what makes relationship work is certainty. And that's where a lot of, not a lot of, you know, sparkles, not a lot of passionate stars are flying in the sky. But what makes relationship passionate and playful and adventurous in that is uncertainty. And when I hear people say that, I know my partner like my five fingers, you know, oh, I know what he's going to do. I know what she's going to do. No, you don't. You don't know, yeah. You know. And when they act out like infidelity or doing something new, they freak out. You don't do that and you just know one part.
I think that's the gift of life, though. The gift of life is that there's... I know you say certainty is important, but the gift of life, I believe, is that there is no certainty. And obviously you mentioned that is something we need to work on. And when you spoke about that, I thought, you know, it's all about that balance, isn't it? We talk about in coaching, we talk about that circle of life, you know, which section of life do you want to focus on more or do you want to improve on? But we all need to have that balance in our life in terms of having what we truly desire and want, and relationships, passion and love, and obviously sex is a big part of that. I found that within myself that if I didn't have a partner and I didn't have that love in my life, that there was a void missing, you know. But now I realize today that truly within myself, it's so important to love myself first before
Absolutely.
I can.
That's a void. You need to fill yourself within yourself first, so you can enter the relationship and truly give, not take. Don't make it like, you know, poor trading, you know, when you just exchange money for sex. You know what it's called, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And I think often people go into relationships at times because they feel that they need to be in a relationship, you know. And I always sit there and I think, do you know what's important to you in your life, and what do you love about yourself, you know, before you get into a relationship? And sometimes we jump out of a relationship, we jump into another one, and we've no true time to discover again who we are. Because often in relationships, I find that we can lose ourselves in the relationship. Yes. And it's important to have our own self-value. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you've just nailed it completely, and that's what I see more and more. And nowadays, it's with women and men together, is that they lose a sense of, you know, their relationship becomes their identity. It's like with the business, and I think I'll be relating it back and forth. Even with the business, most of us, we think of business as our baby, you know, as who we are. And that's where we feel so depressed and blue and, you know, devastated when something doesn't work out. But separating it, it's not who you are, it's what you create, you know, and then it has a journey on its own. And I think, you know, that's what kind of uncover your own success by, you know, allowing it to be created by yourself, but also has its own right. And I guess I would like to, I know that we're probably running out of time, to maybe leave a few recommendations or a few strategies for our listeners to ponder upon, you know, before you think that what's bad about your relationship is the way you communicate. Communication is important. With your partner, always say what you want, not what you don't want. And it translates into the board meeting and into the bedroom, you know, what you want. It's not that you don't have sex enough, it's that I would like to have more sex. You know, it's not that the paper is late, it's I would like you to have the paper done by this next time. Another one is, you know, if something is not working in a relationship and you have been there for long enough and you probably already 1 foot out of the door, write down an exercise. Write down what your ideal partner is. You know, every single step, like to the details of it. And then what is the ideal relationship? What you will be doing? How it's going to be look like? And then by looking at all of this beautiful gorgeousness, write down of who, what kind of person you have to be in order to attract that person, in order to attract that relationship. Because quite often, you know, we have such great expectations for another person and never for ourselves.
Yeah.
And I guess the last one for sex is identify why sex is important. You know, what it is for you. Is it just the power tool you've been using? Or is it just an itch and scratch? Because it's so much more. And once you uncover that sex is not just intercourse or oral or anal or whatever, you can take it to the next level, and it becomes truly a playful journey. And it starts outside of the bedroom. It's not even the foreplay that it starts. It starts off. That's why I say that it's truly a lifestyle. You can have a passionate sex without thinking, without creating something to support it every day. Yes, every day. Do you pay attention to your business every day? Yes, you do. That's why it's so successful. Or maybe not. You know, it's the same. The same strategies apply for sexuality. But if they have more questions, they can just go onto my website, passionandlove.com, or my Facebook. And I also have a YouTube channel and YouTube show, Ask Carolina, or hashtag Ask Carolina on Twitter, so they can ask me questions.
Okay, excellent. And okay, one final question then is who do you see yourself as today in terms of an individual and a person? And why do you do what you do, and why do you help people in this area of life?
I see myself as a person, I finally I feel like I got back to where I was as a child, who really full of creativity, full of energy. And, you know, as we've spoken before, is what will a child do when they see paddle in front of them? Jump right in. And I feel that without any guilt, more and have fun while being all injured and, you know, in all this mess. I think I'm just truly honored to be in what, to create this community and change the landscape of passion and sexuality in the world, because I truly want to give back and live beyond myself. You know, it's so addictive to see people transform their lives and be so happy. This is the great gift I can give myself. This is the legacy. It's not the amount of dollars. You know, when you die and go to the grave, you're not going to take the dollars with you. But leaving the step behind and changing something in this world, I call that legacy.
Definitely, definitely. Leaving your footprint, even if it's with those close people, you know, absolutely, those close people will make a difference. What feeling do you leave behind with them in your heart, you know? And that's all about love and passion in a way anyway.
Absolutely.
With that then, I would like to say thank you very much for joining me on the show, sharing how to find your passion in love.
My pleasure.
I do look forward to chatting to you again soon. Thank you all for listening today, and I do look forward to seeing you all again soon as well.
Yeah, with passion and love, Carolina.
Bye-bye.
The Entrepreneur's Journey. Create your empowering business story. Interviewing successful entrepreneurs from around the world to share their inspiring journey to success. Tune in live every week for your weekly dose of inspiration. Visit www.theentrepreneursjourney.tv for previous episodes.